This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 26 of Tatooine Sons. This week is our special spoiler-filled solo Star Wars story reaction show. First, we'll give our initial reactions to the movie. Next, we'll head straight into the maelstrom of solo spoilers. And finally, we'll speculate on what happens next. I've waited a long time for a shot like this. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, what are you waiting for?
I know, this is the greatest time to be a Star Wars fan.
Like, seriously.
Really?
It's amazing what you can have, what can happen to you if you're a Star Wars fan in this era.
Yes!
That's good.
Okay.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my crazy dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Ooh, changing it up a little bit today.
Little bit.
Here's my crazy dad, the Jotai. The Jotai Beta guy.
Star Wars a solo story. And Jotai the Bedi guy.
The Bowtie Jedi guy. Happy birthday, Samuel the Hutt.
Well, thank you. Even though it's a little late.
It's a day late, but that's okay. Cool. Not a dollar short, I hope. So that's like a saying, right? Okay. A day late and a dollar short.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So you had an interesting birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you start with the basic stuff, like what you did for your party and all that. So
Thursday...
That was yesterday. May 24th. That was yesterday. Because we're recording on Friday, May 25th.
Right. Yeah. So Thursday, May 24th, in case you're listening to this later, I invited a few of my friends over. We sat there. We had cake, pizza, opened up presents. And then we went to go
see... Well, what did we do before we left?
Hmm?
What did we do before we left?
Oh, yeah. Well, we watched... the Twin Sons episode of Star Wars Rebels, season 3.
And there was a really good reason to watch it that day.
Yeah.
I mean, so here's the deal. So Saturday, or let's see, that your birthday was Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today's Friday. That means your birthday was yesterday, which was Thursday. So I'm getting my days right now. Wednesday night, Sam and Nate were at youth group, and I was on Twitter, and I saw a comment by Stephen Stanton, who's our favorite, Ben Kenobi. I would say he's the best Ben Kenobi alive right now.
Huh? That's a safe bet.
Pretty sure. He's pretty, but not only that, is he's an awesome Star Wars fan, and he's an awesome guy. And he was, I saw him comment on a thread that I was following, and I made the comment to him in reply that Samuel the Hutt's birthday was the next day, and Stephen Stanton has mentioned a couple times he's listened to our podcasts, and so he's reinteracted with us a couple of times on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I responded to him that Samuel Hutt's birthday was the 24th, and since Twin Sons is our favorite Star Wars Rebels episode of all time.
Ever.
it would be an awesome experience for him to get a birthday shout-out from Stephen Stanton, which within 5 minutes, you got a birthday shout-out. From Stephen Stanton, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but he's not only done Ben Kenobi in Rebels. He did Tarkin in Rebels. He did Tarkin in Clone Wars.
He did AP5.
He did AP5,
and so that means he can sing because that was a great episode.
That was the best.
And he was the voice of Tarkin in Rogue One. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, but it gets better. So I then proceeded to think, well, now we got Ben Kenobi to give Samuel the Hutt a birthday shout out. So wouldn't it be awesome to get Darth Maul from Rebels, from our favorite episode, Twin Sons, to give him a birthday shout out. So I sent out a little tweet to Mr. Witwer, Sam Witwer.
Mr. Witwer.
And I asked him if he would do that. And about hour, was it the next day or was
it? No, it was that, it was same that night.
Yeah, it was that night. About an hour or so later, good old Mr. Sam Witwer. He gave Sam a birthday shout-out, which was an awesome birthday shout-out, the way he did it, too.
It was like, happy birthday, my young apprentice. Or
something. Yeah, so he, like, did it in character.
It was so cool.
It was awesome. And he's more than just Darth Maul.
Yeah, so he did Darth Maul in both Rebels and Clone Wars as well, right?
Yeah.
I think he's done the Emperor in a couple of games.
He does a great Emperor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, face and all... Starkiller from the Force Unleashed games.
Yeah, so the Force Unleashed is like one of the best non-canon Star Wars games that's ever made.
It's like, Nate and I, it's like one of our favorite games ever. It's such a fun game.
I mean, to show you, now this game is about, what, 10 years old?
It's pretty, yeah. I would go with about that.
I'll just say that I've played that game all the way from start to finish and beaten it.
Me too.
When we first got it, so... Mm-hmm. Love that game. Love the character of Starkiller in that game. One of my favorite parts of that game is when he's pulling down Star Destroyers.
Yes, that was such a fun.
We got the other bonus levels. You should play them. They're great.
They're not canon.
No, none of this story's canon. Well, I mean, but he's an awesome guy, and it was really cool to get Ben Kenobi and Darth Maul from our favorite episode. So that's why we had to watch Twin Sons.
Right.
But it doesn't end there. Who else gave you a birthday shout?
Well, by extension, Mark Hamill.
Yeah, okay, so here's the deal. So when Sam Witwer responded, I was like, I got to try this, right? So I reached out to @Hamill himself, Mark Hamill's Twitter account, and I asked if he would be willing to give a shout out. And about 2 hours later, we got a notice from part of the Hamill's Hamsters or whatever those are. It's his Twitter fan club on Twitter. It's like an official group. Yeah. There's like this group of people that are Twitter fans. And so this person is responsible for taking a photo of
Mark
Hamill, but kind of doing one of his faces pointing at the camera and then putting that person's name on it and saying happy birthday with that person's name. So that Twitter user reached out on behalf of Mark Hamill and asked for Samuel's name. And so I gave him the name. Because I think when I asked for the shout out, I may have forgotten to put the name on there, which would have made it hard for him to give you a shout out.
Yeah.
So this person was awesome to reach out. So we did that. And then we're sitting there. So later that day, she sent the photo, or he sent the photo. I think it's a she.
That was that night.
That night. Sent the photo of Mark Hamill with happy birthday Samuel on it. It was cool. Awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
It was really neat. And so then the next evening, when we were sitting here at Samuel's party eating pizza, I got a Twitter notification.
Yes.
And the Twitter notification. Hi, Nate. How are you doing over there, BB Nate? What happened? Since you haven't had a chance to really talk much, we're talking about Samuel Hutt's birthday. Why don't you tell what I did at the moment that I got this Twitter notification while we were eating pizza at Sam's birthday party?
You do it better. You got to do it.
I'm sitting there and I see on my phone this notification. And I open up Twitter and I go, what?
Should have done a warning for headphone users there.
So I did it like four times, and everybody at the table is looking at me like, who is this person, and why are they doing this? And then I explained that Mark Hamill liked that tweet himself. So it's by extension, like you said, a birthday shout-out from Mark Hamill, from Luke Skywalker.
And then I said, you know what? It'd be kind of... I don't remember how we got on the topic, but I'm like, it'd be kind of cool to get a shout-out from Jar Jar Binks.
So then I took it as a challenge. So we took a photo.
I thought it'd be a cool idea, you know?
Yeah, why not? So I took a photo of all of us at the party with, like, that pretty pleased look on our faces and sent it to Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks in the prequels and in the Clone Wars. He was the voice in the Clone Wars as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And asked him for a shout out, and this morning when I got up, there it was—a shout out from Jar Jar Binks for happy birthday. So that was a cool birthday.
Yeah.
And then after all of that, we watch Twin Sons, we do all that. After all that, we got to go see a Star Wars It was a fun Star Wars movie too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Solo.
It was a really fun movie.
It was a great movie. Are you ready to start talking maybe a little bit, Nate?
Maybe.
Okay. Poor Nathan over here.
He's like, what the heck? All right. So why don't we... Oh, before we can do that, though, we have to go over last week's podcast poll of the week. Good old Turbis talking to us. So Solo is out, of course, since we watched it last night. And I guess we're going again tonight after this podcast. It's like almost, what, 8 o'clock right now?
Yeah, we're going to go see it at like, what?
11:45 tonight.
Worth it.
Worth it.
Totally crazy.
We've already seen it and it's okay, still worth it.
We want to be careful. We don't want to talk about it yet. Solo is out. And last week we asked you how much you think the film will bring in over Memorial Day weekend. So here is what you thought. 34%, well, let's go to the lowest number. 28% went with the original projections from May the 4th of $170 million. So we're not just pulling the numbers out of the hat. This is what on May the 4th, after the initial pre-sale tickets went on sale, this is what began to be projected as the possible Memorial Day weekend box office take. $170 million, 28% if you said that. It's actually pretty even. $150 million was what 34% of our listeners and our Twitter followers chose. And then the winner was $180 million.
The one that I...
At 38%. That's what you said, BB Nate.
What did I think I said 150. I was pessimistic.
Yeah, well, let's get your thoughts, BB Nate. You've seen the movie now. Don't tell us about the movie, but do you think after seeing the movie that the momentum will be large, big enough throughout the weekend that it'll hit that 180 million mark?
I think so, because it's kind of weird on the first day. Because everybody's like, everybody's going to go see it, so I'm going to wait. And so, Saturday, not really, but Sunday comes around. And people are like, okay, it must be settling down, so I'm going to go get my tickets and see it more. And so, I think that it
may... And then you get to count Monday, because of Memorial Day. So Monday gets counted in the
I could see it.
But people won't go Memorial Day, because everybody has work off.
Well, that might be why they go, though. I mean, people go on Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. They go to movies.
Sure. That's true. But I think it'll hit at least 150.
Well, no, you said 180. That's what our fans said. So just to give you a little context for all of our listeners and for you guys, I'll get your thoughts on this. Thursday's preview night, last night's box office take was 14.1 million. So it's 10% of the way basically to that 150 mark, which is the highest Thursday Memorial Day weekend. You know, the first day preview thing that in the history of Memorial Day weekend in movies.
That's oddly specific.
It is, but that's because it's Memorial Day weekend and it's a Thursday preview. So you've got to go through that with it. I guess it beat out one of the Pirates of the Caribbean that opened on a Memorial Day weekend with a Thursday night preview. So it's kind of cool. Variety and some of the others right now are saying that it's probably only going to get 110 million
really
at this point. What do you guys think? Do you think it'll go blow past 110?
I don't think it'll blow past, but it's gonna go past 110.
Well, I think it'll get like, I know that it won't get like 200 million. I know it won't get to that spot, but I'm pretty sure it will blow past 180.
110. Okay,
so I think it will.
Yeah.
Do you think this movie should be considered a flop if it doesn't clear that 140, 150 mark?
No.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a weird weekend. I was thinking about this earlier. It's a lot of graduations take place this week from high school, so people are distracted by that. They got family in town. They got Memorial Day weekend. They got all this kind of stuff. It's not traditionally a very good movie weekend for the modern movie era. And I know this is when the original Star Wars would come out and things like that. But I have a feeling it's going to beat all the original Star Wars that came out on this weekend. So I think we're in the end. It's going to be pretty good. All right. Cool. Any other thoughts on the podcast poll of the week from last week?
No.
Okay. You guys want to start talking about the Solo movie?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So let's get into it. All right. So we're going to try to talk for just a couple of minutes here about our initial reaction to Solo, A Star Wars Story. I'm going to let you guys go first because I'm trying to hold in my excitement right now and not spill the beans with everything here. But we're going to do this spoiler-free for the next few minutes. Before we get into spoilers, which we will, and this is going to have a ton of spoilers in it, before we get into it, I will be sure to warn you that we are getting into spoiler territory. Once I've given you that warning, listener, it is all on and you're at your own risk at this point. So I'm going to start with BB Nate, since Samuel the Hutt has talked a lot already this evening.
Hey.
What's new?
That's a good little brother comment there. BB Nate. We've seen it. We've had about 24 hours to process it. Without spoiling anything for the listeners that haven't seen it, what did you think about Solo, A Star Wars Story?
I thought, even if you don't think that it's worth it, it definitely is worth a watch. Don't care when, just watch it in the theaters. Because it's better to see it on the big screen because there's so much details that you can see better instead of watching it on your little iPad or something. But I think that great summer film. It felt like a Star Wars movie. It felt like it was in there. Like people kept saying it belonged in the trilogy. And I agree with that. It belonged in the Star Wars and the...
Oh, it belonged in the story, in the series of movies, okay? Yes. It wasn't just like fan... It wasn't just like a movie that you should just ignore.
Yes, it was one that gave a little bit of backstory on some people's favorite character.
A lot of people's favorite character. A lot of important people's favorite character.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, that's my favorite character.
Right, that's why we're...
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys. Right, yeah.
But I think... Definitely great Star Wars movie to watch and highly recommend it.
Okay, you enjoyed it. Samuel the Hutt. How was your birthday movie?
Awesome. I just want to say to everyone out there, you know, there's been all that controversy about Alden Ehrenreich needing an acting coach and the director, the original director is being fired and all that controversy. Do not worry about it. At all. There is no need to worry about if you like the movie or if it's good. It is phenomenal.
Now, Samuel, you're one of your top three movies in the Star Wars saga or Star Wars series of movies is Rogue One, the other Star Wars story. You really, really liked that movie. Mm-hmm. Compare the way that you feel about Solo to the way that you feel about Rogue One.
I feel that I liked Solo better.
Seriously?
Oh, then Rogue One?
Yeah, because Rogue One was like in your top one or two, maybe three movies.
Yeah, Solo's easy.
Really?
Easy.
Why? Without trying to go into spoilers, just what is the reason that
I feel like Rogue One, I was big into, like, it was just that initial rush from it, because there was a bunch of little references, and it was a good movie.
And the Darth Vader thing at the end.
And the Darth Vader thing, and I think that gave me an initial, like, adrenaline rush, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, like, one of my favorite movies.
And of course, just... special effects wise with Tarkin and things like that. That was really intense. That was a cool moment. So, okay.
But I think after time, it's kind of worn off. Not saying that it's not a good movie. It's a great Star Wars movie. But I think that Solo's easily beaten it.
That's interesting. So if you were to rank your top three Star Wars movies right now, Samuel the Hutt, what would those be?
Last Jedi, Empire, Solo.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's going to be kind of surprising because a lot of people that I'm seeing on social media and in reviews and things like that that did not like The Last Jedi are loving this movie. And so you're finding it's compatible as far as your fandom goes, no problem.
No problem.
Okay. Interesting. Samuel, or BB Nate, what would how would you compare it to Rogue One, some of the other Star Wars movies?
Like Sam said, Rogue One has kind of died off for me.
Even though you're wearing a Rogue One t-shirt.
Yes, but it's the only anthology movie film I have. And I don't have anything...
clean that's a Solo?
Yeah.
And we're going to a Solo movie tonight?
Yes. So I have to wear... But I do think that Rogue One, by the way, it was a great movie, but it just... The more I think about it, the more I'm like... Yes, we got to figure out the team that got the Death Star plans, but still, again, it was kind of just like... filler movie for Last Jedi. And then that's what I thought. And it was great to see it line up at the end. But like Sam said, Solo did blow past it.
You know, if I'm thinking about it, Rogue One didn't have a ton of... There wasn't any, like, major twist or spoilery moment other than the fact that everybody dies. And you kind of had... It wasn't that much of a surprise when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because they're not available in any of the other movies later. Right. So they're probably dead with it. I guess without telling too much, it's pretty safe to say that there was a major twist and reveal in Solo, A Star Wars Story at the end. Would you guys agree with me on that?
I think major to some people, yes.
Major to some people?
No, I don't want to go too crazy, like too spoilery. So this might get a little spoilery.
But all right, we'll just do a tiny little siren here.
Tiny little siren. It's like,
you might want to mini spoiler, mini
you
spoiler.
Might like skip forward like
20 seconds, 20-30 seconds. Okay, go.
So it may some people who haven't looked, who maybe just watch the movies and don't watch read comics or watch movie or TV shows or whatever, they may not quite like or get the twist as much
that's
as
some fair.
Other people.
I think that's
what I mean.
Okay, that's fair. So, all right. So for me, for my reaction, Solo is my guy. I have been simultaneously thrilled and terrified about this movie since they announced it. The idea of seeing Han Solo and his backstory better was thrilling, but then to think of another actor playing Han Solo, not Harrison Ford playing him, was terrifying. And you never know what you're going to get into. And sometimes you can have too much of a good thing, and too much Han Solo could be a problem if it's not done right. And it could ruin what you see about the other movies with him in it. Having said that, I absolutely screamed. I laughed. I teared up a couple of times. Not like major, but a little bit.
We'll
talk about that in the spoiler section.
Okay.
Gasped. Yes. I high-fived you one time. We'll talk about that in the spoiler section. It was everything I could have hoped it would have been. I've said this multiple times on this podcast, so there shouldn't be any spoilers to me saying this. I wanted three things to happen in this movie. I wanted to see Han and Chewie meet, and I got to see Han and Chewie meet. I don't think that's a spoiler for anybody. I wanted to see the Sabacc game, and I saw the Sabacc game. I saw Han Solo win the Millennium Falcon.
I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. And I wanted to see the Kessel Run. And we saw the Kessel Run, and we knew that was coming too.
Yeah, because of the Kessel Run Falcon.
Yeah, and all I mean, that. It was pretty much sure. So I knew going into it that I was going to see the three things I wanted to see. I just was hoping it was going to be done well. It was done better than I could have dreamed. Mm-hmm. It was 2 minutes into the movie, and I started thinking, he is nailing Han Solo.
Yeah, I agree.
It did not feel like Alden Ehrenreich pretending to be Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. It felt like Alden Ehrenreich playing the character of Han Solo.
Yeah,
made sense. And I absolutely loved it. So that was it.
This is weird, but I kind of want to rank my top three Star Wars
movies. Okay, go for it.
Knock it.
BB Nate, go for it.
Yeah. I know this may be a little weird, but it's Solo for now.
For now, yeah. You said that when we were leaving the movie.
And okay. Two is, of course, Last Jedi.
Okay.
Because of Turbis.
All right. Because of Turbis.
Okay. Oh, that's three has to be Return of the Jedi.
All right. I think that's fair.
I'm gonna be honest. You're not gonna be you're in rarefied air calling Solo the best Star Wars movie. There's not gonna be very many people that put that there because it doesn't have any of the Skywalker saga. It doesn't have the Darth Vader.
And that's what I like.
It doesn't have any of that, but it did feel like Star Wars in a really awesome way. It was so much fun. All right, guys. I think I'm done talking about this without spoilers. So let's go ahead and
it's difficult.
Yeah. let's go ahead and BB Nate. Why don't you tell the fans the listeners how they can support this podcast and help us put these on every week, and then we're going to get into spoiler territory.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, here we go. You have been warned. It is time for our spoiler-filled reaction to the movie. What did you guys think about Solo, a Star Wars Story? I'm going to let you go first, Samuel LaHutt. Talk about some spoilers. What was your favorite spoiler? Well, don't talk about the big one. Other than the big one that we're holding on to for just a minute.
All right.
Biggest spoiler that you found. Or biggest surprise from the movie. Let's go with that. Outside of the big one.
His last name.
Yeah! What was that?
Just like... So if you don't know, then I don't know why you're still listening to this. But if you don't know what happened, basically Han was needing to get to escape, right? Because
at the beginning of the movie, Han is trying to escape with Kira from Corellia, and they get separated, and he's kind of forced, as he's trying to avoid being captured, forced to try to join the Empire. Mm-hmm. And they ask him what his name
is. So they ask him, like, what's your family or what's your clan or something like that? And he's like, I don't have one. So the officer's just kind of sitting there, and he's like, Solo. That's how he got his last name. He was literally,
Yeah, well, he says, I'm alone. I don't have a clan.
Right.
And so that's when the guy says Solo. Now, some people have reacted pretty negatively to that. I've read some people that think that's kind of stupid. But you seem to love that.
Same it's literally because he was Solo. It is the embodiment of Han. Like, his last name. I just found that perfect. I loved it. It was such a surprise.
What'd you think about that, BB Nate?
Now that you bring it up, I didn't really notice it.
Really?
What? I just thought he was looking at the computer and looking at random Hans around in Corellia, and I thought he figured out that his last name was Han Solo.
Oh, so you didn't catch it.
I didn't catch it.
Good thing we're having a spoiler episode, huh? Yeah, so you can understand the movie.
Now it's going to be different. Good thing we're seeing it at 11:45 tonight.
At 11:45, we'll be seeing it again. You'll see that early on in that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. What about you, BB Nate? What was your, like, other than the big one?
Well, hold on.
Okay, hold on. Same with
that. I want to ask you what you thought about that, because this is
about the Solo thing.
Yeah, his last
name. I haven't really thought about whether or not I liked it. And I'm just sort of accepting it, if you want to know what I mean. I understand that it seems kind of cheesy that he just got his name Solo that way. But the idea that... Here's why I like it. Let me say it this way. Here's what I like about that idea. I like the idea that he doesn't have a clan. He doesn't have a family name. He doesn't have anybody. He is completely alone. And the only person at this point in the movie that he has any real concern or care or affection for or commitment to is Kira. And he's just been cut off from her even. And so for him to be called Han Solo at that point is probably very appropriate. Coming from someone that's a student of the ancient context of the Bible, the scriptures, and knowing the importance of how your name determines your destiny in scripture, I love the idea of Han Solo at the moment where he feels the most alone in his entire life, I'm assuming. In that very moment, he takes the name Han Solo. That was pretty cool. So, you just hurt yourself or something, BB Nate? Okay. All right. So, anyways,
what was your biggest surprise
other than the big one?
Yeah. I know. Other than the big one, that's difficult because, like, they held out all the big surprises to the last one.
That last one was pretty big.
It was really big. But I'm just gonna say that we see two Sabacc games.
Yeah.
And you thought that he was just like, one Sabacc game, he won the Millennium Falcon because he was
so good. Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. Disney and Lucasfilm have been lying to us during the marketing of this movie.
That's very true.
They have been going out of their way to make that the one that's in all the trailers and all the promotional art and everything else, that Sabacc game, they've been leading you to believe that's the Sabacc game that he's going to win the Millennium Falcon.
Sorry, I forgot. That isn't my biggest...
But that's a big one. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So finish up the storyline. At the end of the movie, there's a second Sabacc game.
Yeah.
And so Lando's been cheats in the first one, and he wins. Which is an interesting... Let's talk about that. Hold on. I want to get to your big thing. But it's interesting because the way that Sabacc game gets sets up another really fun kind of Easter egg in the movie. And that is there. Han sits down and he sort of tricks and manipulates Lando into offering up the Millennium Falcon as a wager in the Sabacc game. And he does that by saying that he owns his own ship. And I'm trying to remember which ship that is.
It's like the LCC 100.
No, something like that.
I just had it.
I don't know.
It's, I had it on my notes.
It's the LCC 100.
Hold on. I've got it. It's right here. Okay. It is the VCX 100. He says, so Solo, Han Solo, says that he has his ship that he's willing to put up against this bet as well as a way to get the Millennium Falcon on the table, because they need the Falcon to Kira, and he need the Falcon to go do this job for Dryden Voss. And he puts up the VCX 100. And what is the VCX 100?
The ghost from Rebels.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not necessarily the ghost, but that model.
It is the same basic, it's ship. The same model ship as the ghost. And so I thought that was pretty awesome. That was pretty cool.
Okay. Nice little nod there.
So, yeah, he didn't have a VCX 100. He was lying, and it came back to bite him. But that's just the way a Han Solo movie goes. All right, DB Nate, talk about it.
Beginning of the movie, we kind of see Han be a mud trooper, that type of stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
We see that he does a job on the convicts?
Convicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we see Rio and Val die in, like, the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And they were, like, promoted them huge. Like, their names were on the posters. They were on the posters. You saw a big
especially
thing about
Val. Val more than anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you saw Rio was, like, what's your favorite alien? What alien are you excited for on the red carpet premiere? And they made it huge. And then 30 minutes in, Rio gets shot and Val blows up.
Yeah, that was nuts when she blew herself up.
Because she had to.
Yeah, I mean, she gave herself in order to help Beckett finish the job. Here's what's interesting about that, too, is Val was clearly, like, in relationship with Beckett. You know, yeah. She wasn't just part of the crew. They loved each other. Baby. They cared. Yeah, they loved each other.
Yeah.
And she gave it up so that Beckett could finish this job. The reason that it was so important for her to give up her life so that Beckett could finish this job was basically she was trying to save Beckett's life, because if they don't complete this job, they've already made a commitment to Dryden Voss that they will get whatever that stuff is.
The coaxium.
Coaxium, yes, that's it. Which we'll talk about that in a second, because that's pretty interesting. Yeah, so the coaxium, they promised to get this coaxium for Dryden Voss, and Val knows that if they don't follow through on that promise, that Dryden Voss might kill Beckett. So she's trying to save the day so that Beckett can survive. So yeah, that was a pretty interesting one. Cool.
What was the big one for you?
Other than the big one?
Other than the twist.
I'm going to steal your thunder a little bit on this, but I think it's probably one of the coolest things that has happened in the whole build-up to this.
No.
So we're sitting there last weekend watching Empire Strikes Back.
You're gonna do this. You're going to steal it.
Well, okay. It's my, like, one of my favorite reveals in this, but I'm going to let you tell the story because it's your story.
Okay, thank you.
So we're watching Empire Strikes Back last weekend.
Yes. So we're watching Empire and, the hyperdrive's malfunctioning on the Falcon, as it does through the whole movie. And it was while they were in the space lug, right?
Mm-hmm.
Han asks 3PO to communicate with the Falcon and see what's wrong, right?
Right.
And 3PO's like, where did your ship learn to communicate? It has the most peculiar form of dialect or something
like
that.
Yeah, the most peculiar dialect, yeah.
And I'm just sitting there spitballing, and I'm like, what if that's L3 in there? just like an idea, you know? I'm like, what if that's L3?
It's true.
So
I promise you that we're not making this up. We're sitting there on the couch. He leans over to me and he tells me, what if that's L3?
So we're sitting there watching the movie, right? L3 gets all shot up and torn in
which
half.
Is another early thing. Just like Rio and
that
just like Val, it's early on. They're at the Spice Mines of Kessel.
It's about halfway, actually.
Yeah, I guess it's about the midpoint. She gets killed or she gets shot. And what happens?
So...
And Lando goes to try to save her and he gets shot.
Yeah. So they need to find a way to get out of the...
They're way off track. They're in the Falcon. They're back in the Maelstrom, which is what this Kessel run is all about. There's one run, 25 parsecs long, that goes through to get to Kessel. There's only one way to do it. They set that up earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's 25 parsecs
long.
No, he said 25.
He said you can't go under 20. He's like, it's basically impossible to go under 20.
Anyway.
20 or under. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so they're doing this, and now they're way off track.
They have
to. And they've got to figure out how to get through this, and they have to get the coaxium to this planet, which I can't remember the name of, it right away, and because it's degrading. It's destabilizing, and they have to get it there. So they have to find a shorter route. So
earlier, Lando had said that L3 has, like, one of the best navigational charts or something in her system ever known, right? So they're like,
which is why he won't wipe her memory, because she's really crazy, she's really peculiar, she says bizarre things, and Han asks why he hasn't wiped her yet, and he says because she's got this amazing nav computer, right. I can't wipe her.
So basically, Han says plug her into the Falcon, load her into the Falcon to get her nav system, right? To find it out there. So as soon as they say that, you and I both look at each other.
We lean forward. There's somebody sitting between us.
We both lean forward, look at each other, and then Dad puts up his hand.
High five right there in the movie
theater. Because I predicted it. So L3 was loaded right into the Falcon.
Now, it's funny, because I was thinking about this earlier today. L3 has a hard time getting things to work at one point when she's functioning normal.
Yeah.
And she beats herself in the head. And the lights come back on, and she starts to function again. Huh. And you remember when Han can't get the Falcon to light up in the cockpit? He hits the cockpit, and the lights come back on again. It starts working right. It's L3 in there. It's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
I didn't notice that until you just pointed that out.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's cool.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk about some of the other things that happened in this movie. What are some of the other fun things that happened? All right, let's just go there. All right. So we got to set this up. So we're at the end of the movie. We're dealing with everybody is betrayed Han at this point, except for Chewie. we got to come back. Don't let me not talk about that moment, that whole Chewbacca stuff.
Where they meet him?
Just everything.
Oh, okay.
But we're at the end of the movie, and Beckett has betrayed Han, and Lando has left. That's a totally Lando scene. So they're confronting Enfys Nest. Then it's like that whole showdown moment.
Yeah.
And he says this thing, right now, there's 30
hired guns. Give them the signal, and you're surrounded. Then you see the Falcon pick up.
And Lando flies the Falcon away.
Hashi bet it's just L3 ready to get away. Lando's, he says, I'm going to be in my master's quarter on my bed waiting for my share. And L3 is just like, I'm done.
I'm done with this. And she leaves. That would fit L3, actually, with it. And so all, that's all happened. Lando's gone. Beckett has betrayed him. Kira has, like, double-crossed him twice already in this scene. And finally, Han goes off to try to get the coaxium back from Beckett and rescue Chewie, who's under gunpoint, from Beckett. Mm-hmm. And Kira just says she can't go with him, that she has to stay there.
She'll be right behind him.
Yeah, she'll be behind him or whatever. And he leaves, and she goes off. And she's got this brand on her arm that is the Crimson Dawn symbol. It's branded on her wrist. And she goes over to Drayden Voss, who's been killed at this point. And he's got that same brand on a ring.
Right.
At this point, the Crimson Dawn ring. And she goes and she takes the ring off of him. She walks up to this module on his desk, and there's a symbol. There's that symbol on this module. She puts the ring in it,
twists it,
and then the room goes dark, and a holo projector turns on. And you see this character it clearly looks like a Sith robe. He's all hunched over. And my initial reaction is, what is the Emperor doing with this?
With steel shoes, boots.
Well, no, you don't even see that yet. At first, you're seeing just the robes and hologram. And so it immediately makes you think of the Emperor,
because
that's been the Emperor in a lot of these movies. And then and Kira's reporting back to him what's happened. And then as you get a better view of what's going on, you're right, BB Nate. What do you see?
Like steel boots, like boots and silver. Looks like
metal legs boots and stuff like that. Stuff.
And that's like, doesn't make sense. And then you hear him start to speak. And immediately I'm like,
no.
I'm going to be honest with you. My first thought was not, is that Darth Maul? I'm like, that sounds just like Sam Witwer. And that's exactly what I said. And then I realized that, wait, that means that this is... And then they pull up to the front. They come around to the front of this character. And he's all hooded. And I'm like, it's... And I noticed it.
So I noticed it when I heard the voice and saw the legs. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. So they come around and I'm like, it cannot be. This cannot be who we think it is. And then he pulls back his robe. And who is standing there or sitting there, BB Nate?
Darth Maul.
Darth friggin' Maul! And then my next thought is every person in this theater that doesn't watch the Clone Wars or Rebels is completely confused right now. They have no idea how this can be happening, which is fine because then they'll go back and they'll watch some great Star Wars entertainment to try to figure it out.
But people will be still angry.
Darth Maul is running Crimson Dawn.
Yes.
Now, Sam, BB Nate, do you remember sort of the plot line from the Clone Wars that kind of plays into this? Or you remember it much? Because we watched a lot of those episodes in one day, two or 3 days.
Yeah.
We watched a lot of them. I do remember the Maul arcs the best.
Okay, so obviously Crimson Dawn is a crime syndicate. It's a mob, mafia type, organized crime type thing. And why does it make sense that Darth Maul is running a crime syndicate called Crimson Dawn? Do you remember that from the Clone Wars?
No, I don't remember.
Samuel, yeah, I don't remember those arcs.
Okay, so here's what happens. So the whole, he gets rediscovered. He's in the spider legs. He goes back to Mother Talzin on Dathomir. She goes ahead and changes the legs to these two legs that have like big prongs on the feet. And then he gets damaged later. His Savage Opress is his brother, and they go off. He starts to train Savage Opress to be his apprentice. He gets damaged. They make new Mandalorian legs for him that look more like human legs. They fit that anatomy situation. He ends up taking over Mandalore, and he starts partnering with the Hutts and the Pikes and the Black Sun and all of these different groups. He brings them all together, and I'm trying to remember the name of the crime syndicate. I'm trying to remember what it's called. I have it over here. Shadow Collective. That's what it is. He creates the Shadow Collective, which is a crime syndicate. And it gets defeated. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, the Emperor kills Savage Opress, and he doesn't kill Darth Maul, but he wants Darth Maul to live in humiliation, and it's all this big storyline, right? But the crime syndicate breaks up at the end of the Clone Wars in this. But apparently, Darth Maul's not done being a mob boss. Because he's put together Crimson Dawn at this point, and he's the one that... And Dryden Voss talks about this earlier. He's like, there's people I have to answer to.
Yeah.
Is what's going on. And when he says that, he's terrified of the person he has to answer to. The person he has to answer to is Darth Maul at this point. So there's this gap between the end of the Clone Wars, when we last see Darth Maul, and the beginning of... when we see him in season two of the finale of season two of Rebels, where something goes on that we don't understand, because at that one he's on Malachor at that point, and he's been stranded there. His ship breaks down when he comes there to a Jedi temple to find Sith artifacts. It breaks down, and he's been stranded there for some extended period of time on Malachor. And that's where we think he's been basically since the Clone Wars. But that's not the case. He was leading a crime syndicate and doing a bunch of other stuff. So what did you think about the big ending there? That big reveal where Darth Maul, and we won't talk about where we think it goes, but I mean, do you think that was a good part of the movie or what?
Amazing. Even cooler, because just the day before, I got a shout-out
from Sam Witwer,
the voice of that Darth Maul.
It was so
also awesome. We happened to watch Twin Suns that day, just because. Yeah. So like it all just kind of came together right there.
Yeah, and Sam Witwer played the voice of Darth Maul in this movie.
It is so cool, and I love that twist. No one saw it coming. It was good. I loved that.
Can I let you know a little secret?
Yeah.
One YouTuber predicted it.
Was it Mike Zero?
It was Mike Zero.
No freaking way.
He listed people he thought he heard. He had a rumor. There was a major cameo, but the cameo wasn't going to be Jabba. It wasn't going to be Boba. It wasn't going to be Obi-Wan even. That it was probably going to be, he thought, he started speculating.
Yeah.
And he says it could be the Emperor. I think it could be Darth Maul is what he said. Or it could be Yoda. But he was right. He got it. He was one of those predictions.
Really?
Even Mike Zero got this one.
Well, I mean, I made a prediction and I got it right too. So, you know, anything can happen.
You did make a prediction that you got right.
So anything can happen.
All right, so I want to go back. Let's see, but there was so much stuff that I wanted to talk about. I said like twice in the night.
There's so much in this movie.
I want to talk about Chewbacca.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
What did you guys think about, just in do it again.
No.
Okay.
No.
What did you think about Chewbacca in general in this movie?
I felt true to the character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, but there are different characters for each Chewbacca. And different, you know, actors. It's Alden Ehrenreich.
Different actors, you mean.
Yeah, it's Alden Ehrenreich and Harrison Ford, and people were afraid of that. I was, like, thinking, what about Chewbacca? Peter Mayhew did such a good job. And with this movie, I kept thinking, it just acts like the Peter Mayhew one. And yeah. I kept trying to match it up. And in the scene where Chewbacca's in the mud and...
Oh yeah, so we get, so this is how we meet. This is how we meet him. So
heartbreaking.
So there's this scene at very early on in the movie when Han is now a member of the Empire. He was in flight training, and he says he got kicked out of flight training for having a mind of his own. That's a line that you heard from the one of the trailers. But now he's in infantry because of it, and they're fighting this battle that's reminiscent of a World War One trench warfare battle. Very graphic.
It was pretty intense.
Intense stuff blowing up, and you can see there's almost shell shock setting in on Han Solo at this point. Like, he doesn't know what to do. His commanding officer gets blown up right in front of him,
like vaporized.
Yeah, basically. And he can't. You know, he's trying to figure out what to do, and he ends up finding Beckett and Val and another trooper in a mask. But it was actually Rio in disguise. And he thinks that he needs to follow Captain Beckett. Captain Beckett's not really a captain. He's working a job. He's going to steal this ship. And so he wants to join the crew. He figures it out throughout the movie. And he wants to steal the ship. And instead, Captain Beckett, Beckett. Tobias Beckett, turns him in as a deserter using his captain status. And he gets thrown into basically what looks kind of like a rancor. Pit,
yeah.
And they're saying he's going to throw him to the beast. What did you think when you heard that?
They haven't fed the beast in 3 days.
Yeah. So what did you think was going to be that the beast?
I thought it was going to be like something sort of like
a Wampa is what I kind of thought. Like something like a Wampa. Like,
yeah, that or like Borgullet or something weird like that.
Yeah.
That's some kind of like a Rancor type
snare. Yeah.
Yeah. And. I think that's pretty much the common concept or what people were thinking with it. I'm going to be honest with you. When he said, I'm going to throw him to the beast, he hasn't eaten in 3 days. I knew immediately that had to be Chewbacca in there. And this was the meeting. I just sensed it. And it broke my heart.
Always thinking with your stomach.
Yeah, he does say that. You're always thinking. He says that in a later movie, doesn't he? He hasn't eaten for 3 days. And you get in there. He gets thrown into this muddy, disgusting pit. And he's chained to the beast.
Yeah,
In this pit, and you can't really see the beast. You just hear him a little bit. You see pieces of him, his arms, his leg, in the shadows and stuff. And he's just pummeling Han in this. And I know at this point it's Chewbacca. Yeah. When did you guys figure out that it was Chewbacca?
When I saw his foot.
His foot and his arms and stuff. Yes, it was money, and I'm like, wait, that's a little bit weird, but I think it's Chewbacca. And then when I saw his arm, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely Chewbacca.
And then they get to this point where, you know, Han's trying to talk his way out of this thing, like he does in every movie.
Same thing I always do, talk my way out of it.
Right, exactly. So he's talking his way out of it, and he starts realizing he needs to communicate a little differently with Chewbacca, with this beast that's in there. And he starts talking Wookiee.
He goes,
which was hilarious, because his Wookiee impersonation is horrible.
Bad.
It was, and I think it was intentionally bad.
Yeah.
With it. But he starts talking Wookiee. And then at this point, you see the beast come out of the shadows just a little bit. And there's Chewbacca. And he's standing there, ragged and thin and covered with mud and mangy in a lot of ways. And just, it's pitiful is the only way I can describe it. And as soon as I see him like that, I realize this is a general of Kashyyyk. I think back, my mind goes back to episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, the Battle of Kashyyyk. He's friends with Yoda. He's a general in the army on Kashyyyk. He's a man of a creature, a being of honor and respect, and he has been degraded to this point. And he's standing there, and it's just pitiful. And that's a moment where my heart broke for the character, because you just realize how bad. I mean, I teared up a little bit with that. Not because, I know that he's going to get out of it, but to see this great general go to this low point, it was really sad. What did you think about when you saw him fully and you kind of realized the impact of that? Did it hit you guys like it hit me? Or?
It was pretty depressing.
It was, but it was like, that's the connection between Han and Chewbacca. Han had to speak in Wookiee, yes. And you saw how terrible he spoke Wookiee, that all of his grammar was messed up, kind of like Yoda. And
oh, yeah, with the subtitles. Yeah,
it was great. But that's the connection he had right at the beginning. And that's a weird way for them to meet.
Yeah, I was going to get eaten by you. All right, let's be friends.
But let's be honest, that's the way Han is throughout the entire movie. Because Han doesn't have friends. So he doesn't have relationships that have lasted over time. So the second he has a chance that he thinks that there's a relationship, that person's his friend. It's the way he describes Beckett and Val and Rio to Chewbacca after they break out of the thing. He's like, oh, these are my friends. You know, they're
great friends.
They just threw him into the pit. They had him turned in. And he's like, no, they're my friends.
Yeah, I got some good friends.
Which then makes the moments sort of in A New Hope. They're on Yavin finally. They get the Death Star plans to the rebels. And what does Han want to do? He wants to desert Leia and Luke. He wants to leave them. Mm-hmm. Which is not the way that Han is in this movie.
No.
Han in this movie is like, if you want to be my friend, or if there's any chance you're going to be my friend, I want to be your friend. I want to be loyal to you. I want to be connected to you. And by the time we get to A New Hope, it's like, see you, kid. Yeah. I'm taking care of me and me alone. Mm-hmm. I got money that I got to go pay to Jabba, or I'm dead. With it. Yeah. See ya. He turns into Beckett.
Yeah.
From between this movie and A New Hope, he turns into Beckett. What do you guys think about that idea?
It's understandable. Like, because of how he was betrayed. And he probably got his heart broken in more ways than one. And that probably screwed him up. So you're going to... I mean, if that happened to me, I'm going to become this cynical jerk, for lack of a better word.
What about you, Nate? What did you think about that? The character development from between this movie and A New Hope, that 10-year period?
It's very different. Because in this movie, he's like, I have a really good feeling about this. And, hey, I just met you and you're my friend. And all is happy and good and all of Star Wars. And it'll all work out. Yeah, it's fine. In A New Hope, he's doubtful about everything. Cynical.
Yeah, he becomes old and cynical and bitter.
And you see that Chewbacca.
And it's just him and Chewbacca. And that's it. The only person he cares about is...
He's trying to change Han. And it's very difficult. For the sole reason of he got betrayed by... I think the main thing was Beckett. Because Beckett's like, hey...
No, I don't think it was Beckett. I think it was Kira.
Kira.
You had predicted it. You said it. This is one of your predictions that you said absolutely you were confident was going to happen. And that was that Kira was going to betray Han Solo.
One of my predictions was right. Haha, Mike Zero. Lando betraying Han.
Yeah, you got that one too. So, yep. So, and then I think that we've settled the... who shot first argument in this movie?
Yes.
Because at the end, Chewbacca is being held against his will by Beckett, and Han goes off to try to save Chewbacca, and they're both standing there, Han and Beckett, standing each other, guns pointed at each other, and Beckett is trying to pull
talk his
way out of it like Han.
Uh-huh.
And BB Nate, what happens?
He's in the middle of his talking and he's all like, yeah, you're a great kid and I was surprised by you, but I had to do this, and bang, he got shot by Han.
It wasn't unprovoked, or whatever, because you see Beckett starting to put his finger on the trigger and about to raise his gun, so Han
knew it.
Shot him.
And he just shot him straight in the chest.
Right. Like, right in the heart.
Right in the heart. Han shot first. I think that's pretty cool.
It was so sad, though. Yeah. And then he's holding Beckett as he's dying. Like, this intimate moment.
Yeah, it reminded me of Obi-Wan and... Or Ben and Maul. Yeah. In The Twin Sons.
And Beckett's like, smart move, kid. I wouldn't have killed you.
Oh, it's sad. Man, this movie...
Oh, it's depressing.
Some emotion to it. So... There are so much more that we... Oh, there was the... did you catch the I know moment?
No.
I
don't
think so.
So, after they land the trashed Millennium Falcon on that planet to get the stuff refined with it, Han comes up to Lando, and Lando's looking at the Falcon, and he's just devastated by how... Just a mess. They just finished the Kessel Run in the track, and now the Millennium Falcon's gone from that beautiful one that we see in the movie to the one that's
basically
the piece of junk.
Yeah,
Millennium Falcon, and Lando's just staring at it, kind of like trying to what is wrong?
What do I do now
with my ship? And Han comes up and he puts his arm around him and he says something. I don't even remember what he says. And Lando looks at him and says, "I hate you." And Han goes,
I know. That's so cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, so I think, I'm not sure everyone will get this reference. I barely get it. But I think Tag and Bink were in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So explain the reference. Yeah.
So basically, they are a couple of characters who were in comics, I think. They were around for a while.
Series. Yeah.
And basically, they're sort of like the slapstick characters who are always in the right place at the wrong time. You know, they were always in the important moments of Star Wars. Like, they would be at the first Death Star blowing up.
They're kind of like the Forrest Gump of Star Wars.
Yes. They would be, you know, at the Death Star blowing up. They'd make it out. They, you know, they'd be at Jabba's palace when Luke is saving Leia and all them. They just happen to be at all the important moments or whatever. And I think that they were in this movie. Because you see Ron Howard took a picture of a couple of dudes and was like, "Tag and Bink?" And in this movie, you see Han, he's thrown down into that pit where Chewie is, and there's a couple of mud troopers in masks on top, watching through the grates, you know, like, come on, get him, you know, like, cheering for the beasts to kill Han. They're like, come on, hit him, I'll move out of the way, I want to see him get beat up or whatever, you know, and they kept saying, you know, funny little comments like that, and then, the Chewie hits the pole or whatever, and they fall, you know, they fall down or whatever. And I feel like that could have easily been Tag and Bink, and I'm kind of hoping it was, because it'd be kind of a little cool reference or whatever. Cool. So
that's awesome. Well, here's the thing. There are, like, I've got, like, 40 points still on my notes that I had prepared to talk about that we obviously aren't going to get a chance to talk about.
Yeah.
And so what we'll maybe do next episode is we'll do a whole episode of just nothing but Easter eggs.
Oh.
And we'll talk about Easter eggs and Solo. You guys think that's cool? Because there's a ton.
Yeah.
There's a did you know that there's a Purgle's Easter egg?
Purgle, really?
Yeah.
Like, it's a major plot line in the entire movie and you guys don't know it.
It's about the coaxium.
Yes, you got it.
Oh yeah.
They're the ones that produce coaxium for hyperspace. And they use it, they refine it for that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's also, can I just point out one quick little Easter egg? Yeah. My friend noticed it while we were there. In Dryden Voss's office, he has all those little totems or whatever. You can actually see the idol from the first Indiana Jones, where he's Indiana's about to take the idol and puts a bag of sand on there.
At the very beginning,
that idol. It's in there.
It is, as well as some different tiles from a scene in the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, and a crystal skull.
I know, it's the big crystal skull.
Which is also a tie back to a 1980 Han Solo novel that came out.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Han and Lando story.
Last one, Nate.
I'm just saying, it does tie in with the whole Indiana Jones is the dreams of Han Solo and Carbonite.
Kind of does, actually.
He saw the idol. That's what he thought of. He saw the tiles. He's thinking of that.
So those things are coming back in his dreams while he's in Carbonite?
I could see it.
Ooh,
I like this.
I like that idea.
It's canon.
It's our story.
It's canon for us now.
We're sticking to it. All right. We got one more subject we got to talk about tonight. I don't know how long it'll go, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about... Thank you so much for all of you guys that are our Patreon supporters. We cannot do this without you. You guys make this show possible. Thank you so much for it. If you love this show and you're you're not a Patreon supporter, Samuel the Hutt wants to tell you how you can do that.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB, Nate, and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends at Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so normally at this point we do our special What If segment where we take the we change something in the Star Wars story and say what if that would happen.
Yeah.
And then we kind of play out where things go within the saga with it. Rather than doing a What If segment like that tonight, let's just speculate as to what happens now in the solo in the storyline from the end of a solo a Star Wars story to the beginning of A New Hope. I'm going to let you go first, Samuel. What do you think happens in this?
Jeez. Okay. I'm going to start out, state the obvious first. Han starts working for Jabba.
Which they allude to.
Yes.
There's a big gangster on Tatooine that has a big a job that you can go do.
But, so. Yeah. And that's obvious because you see him working for Jabba. It's really tough to say. I'm certain that there's been a few comics and stuff that have done that. Obviously, he gets his wife somewhere along the way.
Yeah, well, there's a big part of that in the Shot novel.
I think it was Doctor, or no, it was Screaming Citadel or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, he's got a wife.
Yeah, no, it's talked about in Last Shot.
It's kind of a little crazy. So he's got to find his wife somewhere along the way, which I'm surprised he opened himself back
up. What about the Darth Maul Kira element?
Yeah, that. I don't know. So obviously he's got to go from huge crime boss to
stranded on Malachor. Yeah,
yeah. In a course of like what, 4 years, 5 years?
Let's see. If this is 10 years before A New Hope, then he's probably 6 or 7 years. He's got to be have been stranded for some period of time.
Hmm. Okay, so yeah, how about Darth Maul and Kira? We do see Darth Maul. He's like, come to Dathomir. We have to talk. And then you immediately see him ignite his lightsaber.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
That was cool. But
the same lightsaber he has in Rebels.
Yes, which was actually really awesome. And then it was kind of cool. But I think Kira dies at that moment by Darth Maul's hand.
Oh, you think she's failed him? So
she's failed him, and so just is so angry that he's like, "I'm done."
That's intense.
And not even Drayden Voss, like a really bad dude in this movie that we see, was afraid to report to Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And so Kira had to. You can tell that
Kira was pretty freaked out.
Do you think that Kira knew him?
I think she did, because we did talk in the elevator. She's like, if I don't get this job done, I'm dead.
Well, I think that, I alluded, I thought that was Drayden Voss.
Yes, but she said that even Drayden Voss has people he answers to.
Yeah.
So I think she knows who Maul is, and like what his significance and prestige.
And he did kind of recognize her when
It seemed like he knew who she was. I think that
he even mentions her by name, I think.
He might, yeah. I think that they don't put Darth Maul in this movie lightly.
Yeah.
You don't put him in there just to say, hey, that was cool, we got to put Darth Maul at the end of this movie. I think they're planning on some type of a storyline, either a TV series, animated series, maybe a solo sequel. To this, something I think you've got to see that happen somewhere. I just don't think you can have much interaction between Maul and Solo himself, because of Solo's opinion regarding the Force in A New Hope, and he doesn't believe in it, he doesn't agree, think it's real, and that kind of thing.
And how could he stand up against Maul? Like, right. Let's be honest here.
So maybe we have Maul in the background somewhere in another Solo movie, where Solo is trying to get back to Kira, or trying to he's interacting with her in some way. But I think that Kira's not gone anywhere. And in fact, did you guys know they released a new Forces of Destiny today with Kira?
Really?
Yep, today. So they've got a plan for Kira, and they've got a plan for Darth Maul. That's the first
Forces of Destiny where like the main character was a bad guy, isn't it?
Hmm. Because I don't know of another that's like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, I mean, unless you want to look at Anakin Skywalker as being a bad guy. But anyway.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Gosh. So. He's very disturbing in those animated shorts.
He doesn't look right. His hair is like
an anime girl and stuff.
So.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, that's it.
That was a short segment.
That was. But we're getting ready to go to Solo. And I'm just sort of like chill right now. Yeah. Ready to go see this thing again.
Chill. How can you not be chill? Man. I'm excited to know.
I'm excited, but like...
Well, I might take a nap before we go. But anyway, all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about this week?
Anything else?
I don't know. You may have heard, but there's like, it's been confirmed that that there's a a movie.
Spit it out, Spanky.
Of Boba Fett.
Now here's the thing. It keeps every news article says it's confirmed or official. Except nothing has actually been confirmed and is official from Lucasfilm.
It's official, okay?
Why do you say this?
Because it has to be.
Sam is really excited. You want to tell me what your birthday gift from your dad was? Did you forget your birthday gift from your dad already?
No, a bunch of... It was from both of you guys.
The shirt. It was a Boba Fett shirt.
And the cards.
Yeah.
So I got like a brick. My thing's like magic tricks and stuff, so I love playing cards, right? So they gave me like 4 decks of just Boba Fett playing cards. They're amazing. They all have like different artworks on them, or like concept arts or stills from movies or whatever. So those are awesome. But then he got me a shirt that looks like an actual, like a regular playing card, like a court card design, but it's Boba Fett. Freaking awesome. It's probably my new favorite Star Wars shirt.
And by the way, when Sammy was talking about the cards, he had a card in his hand and he gestured it so you could see it, but this is podcast, so nobody could see it. By the way, they are really cool though. Like, the one he has in his hand is from a comic book.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see it, but
it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's great podcast right there. All right, yeah, anything you want to talk about, you didn't get to talk about, Nate, BB Nate?
Galaxy's Edge, maybe this is kind of a good date that they're trying to project, is summer of 2019.
Getting close.
And I'm so excited, and I think it may come across for me again tonight, but I did think like of a part during the Solo movie that kind of made me think, oh, maybe that could be part of the rides. And I don't know what part it was. I just remembered it, and I'm pretty sure I thought of the Millennium Falcon ride that they're talking about doing.
Interesting.
I thought it was set in more of the Force Awakens type period.
Oh, it is, but it's a Millennium Falcon ride. He's talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was that some of the mechanics, since I was kept thinking about how during the opening premiere, they're like, if you push these hyperspace controls forward, then it'll go...
It was like a practical effect.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that I'm thinking like, oh, maybe they could use that for the actual ride. And so that's how it'll be like.
Which, cool.
And then maybe you fly through the freaking Kessel Run, and if you don't do it correctly, like they say, you lose. And they said
you can lose that ride.
You can lose that ride.
You can like not do it right.
And like during even the Stormtrooper thing, you can lose. And
like it's interactive.
People say that it's not happily ever after in the Star Wars land. And I'm
wow.
like,
that's cool.
I'm very like,
cool.
This is going to be better.
Anything else for you, Dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was in the comic book, the new Poe Dameron comic book that came out, Leia basically says that Poe Dameron's force sensitive.
Well,
mine is a lot more legitimate than your official.
So, but the way she said it could have meant that even.
Of course, you're force sensitive is basically what she said.
Yeah, everyone's force sensitive.
Well, Poe Dameron's force sensitive.
Yeah, so is Jar Jar Binks and
we're not going down the Jar Jar Binks. Although Ahmad Best did wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So we have to
shout out to you, Ahmad Best.
That's right. Yeah, if you're listening to our podcast, great job, Jar Jar.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks for that. All right.
He's not listening to our podcast.
All right, let's talk about next week's, or this current week, I guess. This week's podcast poll of the week.
Ready, aim, and fire!
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Bantha Poodoo. Like just like putting that in there because that's fun. 1 being Bantha Poodoo, 10 being One with the Force. What did you think about Solo, A Star Wars Story? So if you go to our Twitter page and search Tatooine Sons poll, you'll be able to find that no problem. Give us a vote on that. I guess that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast again this week. We appreciate it very, very much. If you're not subscribing, please go on iTunes and subscribe. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Comment on this. Share this with others. If you're not a Patreon supporter, we would love for you to join our Patreon family and be a part of us that way. Anything else you guys want to share with our friends and our listeners?
I have a good feeling about this.
Oh, he changed it up. He usually says,
well, I'm going to go with the old classic. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question until after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.